Brethren, we, as members of the Church of God, who now have God's Holy Spirit and have been given an opportunity, we must make the most of it. We must make the most of this one chance that we have been given. We have been shown the big picture. It's been brought into full view. Following this path brings about blessings. It brings about a better way of life. It is also a time for us to be judged. It is our time to be judged. Now more than ever, we must see everything clearly. Today, I want to speak about some of the keys to staying focused. How do we stay focused? We must understand fully what our number one priority is, what we are to be focused upon. We are not to wander aimlessly around like so many others do. I was having coffee one evening this week, and there was a whole bunch of, school has started back up over at CSU, and a lot of the kids are out on the street now, and they come in all shapes and sizes and various forms. But one of the things I was noting is it's not only looking at their physicality, but the way that they're dressed, the way that they're acting. They're coming in, and so many of them, it just seems that they're searching for an identity. They're trying to become something, whether it's grunge or gothic, or some of them are effeminate, others are Rastafarian. It's just they run the gamut, and you have to sit back and muse to a certain degree that here are these 18, young 20-somethings, they're out there, they're getting in life, and they're trying to become an adult. They're trying to figure out where they're heading. But the problem is that as we look around the world, 20 years down the road, many of them are still looking for something. They don't know what. Their life doesn't have as much purpose. Or they're investing it into things that have no future, whether it's the Eastern ways, whether it's atheism, whether it's some political view that they're going to think this can be the answer for everything. Job, and we won't turn there, comes to mind where he talks about these people who are, they're groping in the darkness. They're without light. And that's what kind of came to mind when I was thinking about these people. Brethren, we are not to be like that way. We do not have to be that way. We should not be that way because we know what direction we're heading. We know what our priority is, what our first priority is. Let's look at it in Matthew 6 and verse 33. It is such an important part, and I know that we all know the scripture, but I think it's necessary, as we'll see even later, to go over this frequently. Matthew 6 and verse 33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Our priority is set for us if we open up the pages of our Bible. And if you look at anybody's Bible, it doesn't say any other number but first. It doesn't say second or third or anything else. This is our first priority. It is a key. We need to be convicted of this way of life. And we must keep the law. We need to be convicted that we need to keep the law. We need to be convicted of the laws that we need to keep. Many other organizations are not even necessarily convicted of the laws that they're supposed to keep. We know these, and these are the things that we are supposed to be attaining first. This is the direction that we're supposed to be heading to. We, brethren, should be past trying to figure out what it is we're headed towards, what our first priority is. We need to be well grounded in these ways. Matthew 13 and verse 19. Matthew 13 and verse 19, and we're going to the parable, a well-known parable, and we're looking at the revelation of what it meant. In Matthew 13 verse 19, and you may want to put your bookmarker there. We'll come back to this chapter a few more times. But it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. Brethren, do we understand the word of God? The answer to that should be a resounding yes, we do understand. If there is something that we don't understand, we need to make sure that we reconcile that in our minds. Brethren, we need to be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. Another scripture. The person without the solid foundation of the Word of God can and will be taken away by Satan. 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4 will read verses 11 through 16. If there was any doubt, if you had any doubt, if for whatever reason you just believe somebody because they're believable, don't. We need to make sure that we have the right and correct foundation, that we can prove it. Prove it in the Word of God. 1 Timothy 4:11. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in the Word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. Give attention to reading. Okay, so here we're saying, give attention to. Right here it's being said, focus on this. Here we go. Focus on reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Again, take heed, or focus. Focus on what you're doing. This is what he's saying here. Take heed to yourself. Focus on what you're doing and to doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. We have a goal, brethren. That goal is to be staying focused on the finish line. We have before us, in the words of the Bible, and ones that scriptures that we've read many times, that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. We have been given this vision for the future. We have been given a well-defined and purpose-filled goal. As we pursue this goal, we need to prepare for derailers. Prepare for derailers. Derailers are things that knock us off the track. They can blindside us, and they can take us off the target. Things such as trials and tribulation. Going back to Matthew 13, verse 20 this time. Matthew 13 and verse 20. We are promised trials and tribulations, and they will come. And note what happens if we lose our focus when they do come. In Matthew 13 and verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. So they have the word, and they received it, and they're very happy about it. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word. Immediately he stumbles. He only endured for a short time. Other derailers of our faith are the enemies of our faith. Fear, doubt, human reasoning, worry. We know all these, and we combat them. We combat them with the perfect love, which casts out fear, with the certainty of the truth, which removes all doubt. We have reliance upon God instead of reliance upon self. Brethren, we are to use the armor of God. Again, we heard a message that covered the armor of God recently. We've heard messages many times before on the armor of God. We've seen articles on the armor of God. We've had several messages on the enemies of faith. Does that mean, then, that we should tune it out? That we should just oh, I've heard that before, let's move on? Or is there a reason that God wants us to hear things repeatedly? Does he know how we work? Of course he does. No, what this means is that we should now try to even gain more understanding by hearing it a second time, third time, or 40, 50 times. When we go to the feast, how many times have we heard the meaning of the feast? How many times have we been to the feast? Does that negate our need to listen to it once a year at least? Absolutely not. It gives us a greater requirement of what we need to be doing, of what we should know by now. And we should get more out of it. We should apply it more intently to our lives, to a greater extent. Our lives should be fuller because of it, so that the next time a derailer comes by, that we are not knocked off track, that we are prepared for it. The next key is to avoid distractions. Avoid distractions. Now, these are things that we jump off the track for. We're not knocked off by them, but we choose to pursue them. Examples: money, sports, possessions, entertainment, fashion, hobbies, relationships. It's different for every person. Put your own in there. What is it that distracts you? You do need to identify what that is. The cares of this world can be very enticing. Matthew 13 and verse 22. Matthew 13 again. We're not to allow the physical concerns to prevent us from serving God and doing what is right. Matthew 13 and verse 22. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. The cares of this world. We've heard that many times. But, brethren, we even have to be careful about the things that are necessary. We need to be careful about them becoming an impediment to us keeping an eye on our target, from focusing in on the goal. In fact, when it's something that we should be doing, these are a little more surreptitious. They're the ones that can become a distraction without us fully realizing it, or before we realize it, or without us even knowing it. It can be things such as school, work, necessary things. Luke 10, verse 38. Let's look at an example of this. Luke 10 and verse 38. How necessary things can become a distraction. Luke 10, we'll read verses 38 to 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Somewhat indignant, you can imagine. Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled. You're distracted about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken from her. Brethren, this is why we need to keep the most important thing the most important thing. It's easy to let ourselves move away from our objective, especially when we have responsibilities in front of us. Brethren, we must be judicious with our time. In Ephesians 5:16 it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Brethren, we are living in those evil days. We are living in the end time. It is now time to buy back our time. We need to redeem our time. Satan is truly the master of using up our time, of distracting us, of sending us off on fool's errands, as it were. I came across this story on the internet that I had never heard before. And hopefully I wasn't the only one who hasn't heard it, because I'm going to read it now. But the story starts off, it says, Satan called a worldwide convention, as the story goes. The huge crowd hushed as he stepped up to speak. We can't keep the Christians from going to church. We can't keep them from reading their Bibles and knowing the truth. But we can do something else. He paused. Everyone listened. He said, we can keep them from forming an intimate, abiding experience in Christ. If they gain that connection with Jesus, our power over them is broken. So let them go to church. Get this. Let them go to church. Let them have their conservative lifestyles, but steal their time so they can't gain that experience in Jesus Christ. This is what I want you to do. Distract them from gaining hold of their Savior and maintaining a vital connection through their day. How shall we do this? Shouted his minions. Simple. Keep them busy in the non-essentials of life. Invent unnumbered schemes to occupy their minds, he answered. Tempt them to spend and spend and to borrow and borrow. Convince the wives to go to work and the husbands to work 6 or 7 days a week, 10 to 12 hours a day, so they can afford their lifestyles. Keep them from spending time with their children. Tell them they're doing it for their children. Ah, that one works well. As their family fragments, soon their homes will offer no escape from the pressures of work. Overstimulate their minds so that they cannot hear the still, small voice. Entice them to play the radio or cassette player whenever they drive, to keep the TV, the VCR, and their CDs going constantly in their homes, and to see to it that every store or restaurant in the world plays music constantly. Fill their coffee tables with magazines and newspapers. Pound their minds with the news 24 hours a day. Invade their driving moments with billboards. Flood their mailboxes with junk mail, sweepstakes, mail order catalogs, and every kind of newsletter and promotional offering, free products, services, and false hopes. Even in their recreation, let them be excessive. Have them return from their recreation exhausted, disquieted, and unprepared for the coming week. Don't let them go out in nature. Send them to amusement parks, sporting events, concerts, and movies instead. And when they meet for spiritual fellowship, involve them in gossip and small talk so that they leave with troubled consciences and settled emotion. Don't let them encourage or uplift each other. Keep those who are